for many, many years. Where's he at? There he is. You can't see him until he gets up here. While he's coming, you don't want to miss the service tonight. You don't want to miss the service tonight. Let's go, boy. Over there. You don't want to miss the service. And I know you'll be blessed. We got some surprise new singing group going to be here tonight. Don't miss it. You say, you know what? It's Labor Day and you're supposed to not. You're crazy. Who in the world told you? I know who told you that. It wasn't the Lord. So you be here tonight in your place. You be here tonight in your place like you got good sense. God will bless you for it. Amen. All right, Brother Stephen, take it away. Should have quit when he had that last chance there. Amen. Done a good job, man. All right. That's good, brother. He knows a bunch of songs, too. You're doing better, man. I'm telling you. I've been to his house to eat ice cream when I preached down there in York, South Carolina. And stand up back there. Ooh, that's his mama. Well, that's what comes from raising kids right. Isn't that better? Somebody tell me the name of that song. Just a closer walk with thee. All right? Isn't that better than Chinese rap? Do they? I don't even know. Does Chinese have rap? You ever looked at how much rap looks like rape? R-A-P. It's rape music. That's what it causes. Amen. Preach it, brother. All right. Let's get our Bibles open this morning now. Let's get our Bibles open. I'm going to ask you to turn to a couple of places in the Bible, and the first one is Proverbs 28:13, and the second one is in Psalm 90. So they're real close to each other. Proverbs chapter 28. I'm going to do something this morning that I'd really prefer not to do. I actually wanted to preach on some glory message to encourage you. But the Lord laid this message on my heart. It's on my heart all day yesterday, all day, day before, this morning, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock this morning. And this is going to be real serious. So I need you to listen to me. All the young men and daddies, listen. All the young ladies, listen. I'm going to give you a little warning this morning. And if some of you don't take heed to the warning that you're getting ready to hear, you're going to dearly pay a big price. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 13. The Bible says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Now, look at Psalm 90. Psalm 90. Those are stinging words in the Bible. but so true. Psalm 90 and verse number 8. Psalm 90, verse number 8. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee. Look at this. Our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. I'm preaching this morning on the subject, secret sin. Now, let me say this morning, I want to remind you that it is not a sin to be tempted. Everybody's tempted. Jesus Christ was tempted, but he did not sin. Make sure you understand. You say, well, I'm just struggling. The devil's tempting me all the time. Brother Danny, I'm fine. I ain't talking about you. You are not who I'm talking about. I'm not up here this morning to put unnecessary guilt on you. If you're fighting with sin, you've got enough guilt on your own. Nor am I up here this morning to condemn you if you're fighting and fighting against the sin in your life. I'm not even talking to you. If you got a sin that's bothering you, and every day you confess and you ask God to help you and give you strength, and sometimes maybe you mess up or you say something or do something you shouldn't do, and you say, God, forgive me. God, I want to do right. God, I ain't even talking to you. I'm talking about deliberately keeping sin in your life that you know is wrong. I'm not talking to people where a dog runs across your yard and you say, get out of here. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to you that take the dog in your house and keep it and feed it and nourish it. That's what I'm talking to. Make sure you get me right this morning. I'm talking to anybody in here who is deliberately doing wrong. And you know what you're doing is wrong, and you're not willing to quit it. It's secret. You've got it hid. It is possible to go to church a long time and have secret sin. Did you know you got to be careful when you go to church of leading a double life? A lot of Christians, people go to church, lead a double life. They have one life around their wife and family, or husband and family, or mom and daddy, and they have a complete separate secret life that nobody knows about but them and the Lord and the devil and whoever else might be involved. You better be real careful. All of us have been guilty of that at one time or another in our life. And I'm going to tell you how to deal with it this morning. The most miserable people in the world are people that are trying to live two lives. You don't do a good job at either one of them. And you're miserable in both of them. So I want to say four things this morning. Number one, you listen to me now. You listen to me now, people. If you ever heard me serious, I'm serious right now. You listen. Number one, what is secret sin? Secret sin is to deliberately, on purpose, keep acts, deeds, thoughts, feelings, or attitudes when you know it's against God and you know it ain't right. That's what secret sin is. It's against God and His will. They said, it's like a boil or sore. Let's just say this morning, if you looked at me this morning, you'd say, well, Brother Danny, you look like you're in good health this morning. As far as I know, I am. As far as I know. But it's like me standing here this morning and having a big old boil right here on my leg, like this, with poison in it and junk running out of it and blood. You don't see it, but it's there. It's like cancer. A person can look perfectly healthy and have cancer growing in their body. Now, it finally comes out, but a person can look perfectly healthy and perfectly fine and have cancer growing in their body. Now, I'm going to tell you, you can come in here this morning and you can look and act like everything's all right. You can sing in that choir. You can turn around and fellowship with people. You can talk to people. You can put on a good smile. You can sing when we all sing. But there's a sin that you're deliberately keeping And you know, I'm not talking about you that are fighting and struggling. I'm not talking about you that's hitting the altar and you're fighting it with everything. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about you who have decided that you're just going to keep that sin in your heart. That's who I'm talking to. It's what is secret sin? It is like a cancer. It is like something in your heart. A strong man with a bad heart that can have a heart attack at any time. It's deliberately doing wrong. It's having a boyfriend that your husband don't know about. It's having a girlfriend that your wife don't know about. It's sneaking and doing things and keeping it hid from your parents, where you're going out and partying, you're smoking pot, or you're drinking, and you tell your parents that you're spending the night with somebody, and really you're over at somebody else's house. And you're doing it as a lie. And you ain't even trying to quit. You don't even care. It's sleeping around and committing fornication and knowing you're doing wrong. Knowing you're doing wrong. And you're just saying, I've just decided this is the way I'm going to do. That is the definition of secret sin. Let me say to this morning, the signs of secret sin. There are some signs. It will show up on you. It's like you and a friend walking down the street. Let's say me and you was walking down the road. And me and you was walking like this. And we're walking like this. And I notice that you're sort of doing this. I'm going to turn around and I'm going to say, are you all right? Is there something wrong? And then you pulled your pants leg up and you've got a big sore right here. Or a bolt on your foot. Or something wrong with your toe. I can't see it. But it shows up. I can tell you ain't walking exactly right. I can tell. Now, you know, if a person, if you see me, look, people, if you saw me up here this morning and I got up out of this seat and I went like this, there's not a person in here that wouldn't say, something's wrong with Brother Danny. Something's wrong with you. You can't see it. It might be in my back. It might be I might have a slipped disc or a bulging disc in my back, but you can tell it. After a while, you can tell it. And I'm going to tell you this morning. Are you listening to me today? When listen, you can tell when a person ain't walking right. You can tell it. You may have it hid. You may have it. You try to act like, but brother, it shows your smile ain't right. Your actions ain't right. Your spirit ain't right. Your countenance ain't right. Listen, I'll be around somebody and I can tell you if they're sinning, brother. You can tell it when something ain't right with somebody spiritually. It'll show up on you. You have an uneasy look. You have an unnecessary fear. You're always afraid you're going to get caught. You're always scared when that phone rings. It's that phone call that you don't want to get. You're always scared it's going to come out. You know that feeling, if a man's running from the cops and they got a warrant out for him and everything, he's always looking over his shoulder. That's a miserable way to live, brother. That's a miserable way to live. You're always looking over your shoulder. Listen, that secret sin that you got in your life this morning, it's causing you to always look over your shoulder. You're always saying, so-and-so's going to find out. So-and-so's going to find out. Boy, what if mama found out? Boy, what if daddy found out? Boy, what if my wife found out? Lord, what if my husband found out? They would hate me. My kids would never have no respect for me. My mom and daddy would kick me out. If they only knew what I was doing. If they only knew what I was doing. If they only knew what I was doing. You know what? Every time one of the kids gets sick, you think it, don't you? Think it. Here we go. This is God. This is God. God's judging me. God. Every time something goes wrong, you think, here we go. Here comes the wrath of God. Because you've been taught and you've read the Bible and you know that God ain't going to let you get away with it. And if you're a child of God, He will not let you get away with sin. He will judge you. He will get you. He will chastise you because He loves you. You may, listen. I know people that have lived double lives, and Sunday come in church like, I'm cool, I got it all figured out, I'm invincible, I'm that.
And I'm telling you, brother, they come in like everything's cool. They shake everybody's hand like I'm Superman. I'm Superwoman. They come in smiling at you, and they think they got it covered up. But I'm telling you, brother, it comes down. I'm telling you, it comes out. That old book said, be sure your sin will find you out. Right about the time you think nobody ain't going to ever know, that's when everybody, it hits a fan. Right about the time you think you got away with it, slam! Right in the face, it'll come. Listen, the signs of secret sin is an uneasy look. How you doing, brother? Fine. How are you? I bet David had that look when he committed adultery. And Nathan come in to see him. And he said, David, we got a problem here. And David said, I don't know nothing about no problem. You know, his mind was thinking, oh no, here it comes. I'm telling you, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just saying, if you try to keep his head, if you keep doing it deliberately, God will bring it out. You'll be embarrassed. You'll be shamed. Achan, when he went over there, and they went over to Jericho. And you know what the Bible said Achan did? Achan went over there. Now listen, I'm not talking about something you did last year and you repented. I'm not talking about something that happened 6 months ago and you've asked God to forgive you and put on the blood. I ain't talking about that. I ain't talking about if you've got right with God and it's under the blood, shout the victory and go on. I'm talking about if you're deliberately living in sin. That's what I'm talking about. Something happened last summer and you repented and you got right with God, it ain't none of mine or nobody else's business. Am I right? Amen. And don't try to make it your business. It's the devil that brings up people's past sins. I'm talking about you that think, everybody going to be still now from now on. Everybody, keep your seat. You listen? I'm talking about deliberately living in sin. About this man, he had him a girlfriend. His wife didn't know about it, and he kept it quiet, kept it hid for a long time. And look, I'm not stupid. I mean, we had 350 people here last Sunday. I ain't stupid enough to stand up here and think there ain't somebody in here doing that. I don't know who you are, but I might just come and lay my hand right on you. I've done that before, and not even meaning to. They talked this boy into coming to hear me preach one time at Marion. I don't even know him. Wouldn't know him if he walked in the door right now. And he was one of these guys. He was very particular about his hair. You ever seen these guys? It's bad enough for a girl, but guy. I mean, he didn't want nobody touching it, messing with. He had it all styled up. He didn't want nobody. I'd never seen a man in my life. I didn't know this till not long ago. And somebody talked to me and they said, you know what, Danny? He said, this guy told me, he said, I talked him into coming to church with you and me at New Manor one Sunday morning. He said, he sat halfway back. And he said, that guy, all he wanted to do was nobody mess his hair. He said, he wouldn't let nobody touch his hair. He said, I come running down the aisle and put my hand on that fella's head and went like that. Never seen him before in my life, before or since. I wouldn't know him if he walked in the door. So you better watch out. I ain't kidding you. The Lord knows what he's doing. The Lord will buttonhole you, brother. He'll pinpoint you. He'll put his hand on you. That's what preaching does. And this guy had him a girlfriend, and he thought he was all smart, and he didn't let her know about her and let her know about her, and he told her that him and his wife hated each other and didn't have nothing to do with each other, and he told his wife he was being faithful to her, and one day she found a note in his pocket. I love you. Had a great time last night. See, that's the way secret sin does. Secret sin's like if I got a boil on my leg right there and I'm walking like this. I can tell some of y'all ain't walking right. That's why you won't come on Sunday night. That's why you won't come on Wednesday night. That's why you won't witness. That's why you don't read your Bible. That's why you ain't got no shout in your soul. That's how come you got a boil right there. That's how come you ain't got no victory. That's how come you can't get your prayers answered. See, the note come out. She found it. Let me talk about the results of secret sin. Results are terrible. Your conscience will bother you.
Imagine Joseph's brothers. Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. Sold him into slavery. Had him, to all practical purposes, killed. Put him in the pit. Sold him as a slave. And can you imagine them sitting around the supper table and their daddy crying? Can you imagine? Listen, because of your selfishness and your sin, you're causing people to cry. Nothing hurts any worse than for us to think we made our kids cry themselves to sleep at night. I've done it. That hurts, brother. That hurts. How can we be so selfish as to put our own wants first and forget about those that we love and those that God's put us in trust with? Joseph's brothers sat there at that table and watched their daddy cry over their dead brother, knowing good and well it was their fault that he was in the condition he was in. And they sat there and just smiled and said, pass the butter and pass the salt. Listen, there's been some use. You've eaten many a miserable meal and laid down at night a many a miserable time because your conscience was bothering you so much over what you was doing, and you ain't going to let go of it. You won't let go. You just hold on to it and hold on and hold on to it and say, I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go. One more week. One more week. Just one more time. I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go. And it'll destroy you. Your prayers are unanswered. Bible said in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You fail and destroyed at testing time. They said years ago, they made this big old bridge go over the railroad track, and they ordered something like cast iron or something. They made a bunch, something like that, steel or something, and it had air bubbles in it. The company, it was faulty. It was second grade and had air bubbles in it, but you couldn't see it. And they made that big bridge span across that valley. And man, that thing looked perfect. It looked perfect. But when the train come over that weight, those air bubbles inside that steel made it weak and it went down. That's exact picture of secret sin. You can't see it. I can't see your heart this morning. I don't even know who I'm preaching to. And I have nobody in here in mind. Honest to the Lord, I'm just preaching what God laid on my heart. There's probably at least 10 of you. At least 10. And I don't even know who you are. But I'm going by the law of averages. There's at least 10 people in here that are living in sin. And you're not. And I'm telling you, when the testing time comes, you'll crack. You'll crack. You'll crack. I'm going to read you a little testimony here, and I don't usually do this, but I'm going to read you a testimony of a book that I've got here. I want all you men to listen. All men listen, and young men. I'm going to call this man's name Tom. I don't even know if there's a Tom in here. I'll just say the name Tom. Tom had a secret. It was a secret that he kept hidden for 20 years. His secret started when he's just a young boy, not even a teenager, looking through the catalog of a magazine. Like a Sears catalog, seeing women in lingerie. It started when he was real young. Are you men listening? Later, when he got a little bit older as a teenager, he started to look at dirty magazines as a teenager and in his college years. Tom trusted the Lord. In his late teens, he got saved and saw nearly every area of his life miraculously transformed in the next 15 years except his little secret. And his secret was looking at pornography. And nobody knew it but him and God and the devil. Despite becoming a leader in ministry and a devoted father and deacon in the church, his secret sin continued and progressed to adult bookstores and late night internet exploring. He got on the internet at night and looked at wicked, low down, filthy stuff. And as soon as you start doing that, you get addicted, just like a drug addict does on meth or cocaine. Now, buddy, you could hear a pin drop in here right now, but I'm talking to you guys. I'm talking to y'all guys. You better listen to me. Listen to the rest of his story. The guilt and double life that he was living brought such conflict and shame, he thought he was going to explode. He thought he was going to lose his mind. He would look at it and ask God to forgive him. And look at it and ask God to forgive him. And look at it and ask God to forgive him. He tried everything. He prayed. He memorized scripture. He fasted. He begged God to deliver him. He swore over and over and over with absolute sincerity that he would break his addiction and live a holy life. And he failed over and over and over. Every time he'd get down and say, God, I ain't going to look at it no more. Next thing you know, he caught himself up at night, punching them buttons, looking at it again. Just like some of you do. We might be shocked. And ladies too, these days. But mostly men. Finally, in desperation, Tom traveled to another city and for the first time shared his secret with a group of men who understood. That critical step was the beginning of Tom's restoration to God, his wife, his friends, and to himself. Now hold on here and I'll finish this story. I'm not one of these preachers that believe that you have to be accountable to somebody. The Bible don't say that. But the Bible does say that we'll confess our faults one to another. I'm not one of those guys that believe that y'all have to go to the men's meeting and tell every dirty thing you ever did. The Bible don't teach that. But if you've got an addiction like that, if you've got sin in your heart like that, it's a proven fact the only way you're going to quit is find somebody, pastor, somebody, and tell about it. If you're having an affair, you'll never quit as long as you keep it secret. You'll never stop. There's something about sitting down with somebody and telling them that breaks the power that stuff's got on you. Drugs, anything like that. He went to a group of men and he said, look guys, he said, I got a problem. He said, I've tried. I've asked God to forgive me. I'm sorry, but I keep going and doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it. And I keep doing it. I can't do it by myself. And they got together and they prayed and they worked with him. And the rest of the story said this. When darkness is brought into the light, it loses its power. Are you listening? When darkness is brought into the light. I'm not saying stand up and confess all you say. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you have to tell me everything you've ever done. I ain't telling you everything I've ever done. I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you've got a problem and a sin that you can't quit, get somebody to help you. Because you ain't going to stop by yourself until it blows up in your face. You listening? He said he shared his painful journey and God's deliverance from the church with his wife sitting on the front row and told his story and confessed his sin. In humility, he called our men into the light to destroy the power of that secret sin, to walk in holiness and the strength of genuine community. We launched a number of small groups for men with sexual addictions the very next week. We watched God do the miraculous. We learned that the highway to holiness is never traveled alone. We need each other. We need help. That's why you need to go to church. That's why you need preaching. That's why we need the church to help us keep strong. Listen, people. Are you listening? All of us have heard about Miley Cyrus this week and all that. Listen, brother, this world's getting filthy and more rotten. That's for our kids. That's Sunday school class to what some of you men seen this week. She's Mother Teresa compared to what some of you people been looking at this week. And you think, oh, it's not hurting me. I preached one Sunday morning on this a long time ago, 20 years ago. And there's a man in the church. When I got through preaching, come down the aisle bawling. And he hit the altar right over here on this side. Good man, good old country boy. And you know what he told us? He said, I've got a drinking problem. He said, I get drunk every weekend. And nobody knew it. I would have never believed it. I would have never believed it. But he said, I'm laying it down this morning, and I want people to help me and pray. That's embarrassing. That's embarrassing to admit you're doing something dirty and rotten. That's why most of us never say anything until it all blows up in their face. Then you have to. You know what the easy way is? Get you somebody, you ladies, get you a lady friend and say, look, I'm doing something very, very wrong, and I need prayer. Would you help me pray about this? You men, you don't have to tell me. Talk to one of these other men. Say, listen, I've got a sin in my life, and I've tried to quit, and I can't quit. By God's grace, I'm going to do something about this. Because secret sin will destroy you. Now, what does the Bible say to do about sin? The Bible says, confess it and forsake it. It don't say you'll be perfect. I'm not saying you're never going to sin again. I'm saying, if you say, God, I'm sorry, and by your grace, I'm turning, don't go back around it. If you got to turn your computer off, turn it off, put a filter on it, or whatever, what you got to do, I don't know what. Do whatever you got to do to keep it away from you. All right. Everybody look at me. See these hands right here? The blood's off my hands. It's on you now. It's on you. When I hear about you ruining your life, don't say I didn't tell you. Because that's what secret sin will do. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. I understand we got a big...